Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
The Bible reading this morning is found in Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed that his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek.
If you haven't already, I'd encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 16. We'll be looking at several different passages this morning, but we'll be reflecting on a special relationship we see in Scripture between Paul and Timothy. One thing that we notice when we look through the New Testament especially is that the practice of planting is very important. That's a major spiritual image that we see, the idea of planting a seed and then reaping what is sown. We see it used several different ways. And I know I shared this a while ago, but I thought this was very appropriate. A passage that I read out of a book where the author described sitting in Germany at dinner with a gentleman he'd never met before. He asked the gentleman what he did for a living, and the man said, "I'm the keeper of a forest." And he said, "Wow, what would that entail? What goes on in being a keeper of the forest?" And he said, "Simply put, I harvest the trees that my father planted, and I plant the trees that my son will harvest. So I always have to plant more trees than I harvest." I think that's a beautiful image, the idea of planting more than we harvest, making sure that we understand we're thinking about the future. And the idea of planting and reaping is something that even children have the ability to catch on to very quickly. I remember hearing an interview a few years ago where a man described an experiment he was trying to convince his daughter not to use her pacifier anymore. Those of you who have been through that as parents, you can understand that can be very difficult. And so he convinced his daughter that if they would just take all the pacifiers in the house and plant them in the garden, the next day they would grow lollipops. Now, this sounds like a genius move, you know. So he convinces her of that. They get all the pacifiers in the house, plant them in the garden. They water that, do everything. And then the next day, of course, he gets up early and makes sure there are some lollipops sticking out of the ground. And she goes out there, picks the lollipops. It's great. He thinks that he's really accomplished something. And she says, "Daddy, this is great." She says, "Maybe tomorrow they'll grow a new pink scooter." And he realized all of a sudden, she caught on to it a little bit more quickly than he gave her credit for. It's amazing how obvious this idea of planting and sowing is. And yet at the same time, when we think about the importance of planting, one thing that you do if you're planting a garden or if you're planting crops is you do so intentionally. You have a goal in mind. You want to grow a certain kind of crop. You want to grow a certain kind of plant. And so you do that with a specific intention. A few years ago, we were watching a slideshow of some pictures of Catherine's grandparents that live in Nashville, and we saw a slideshow that showed a time lapse between the house when they first moved in the Charlotte Avenue area, and then the house years later. Now, the house looked very nice when they first moved into it. It was a beautiful neighborhood, a nice yard, but there weren't many plants or trees there. And it was amazing to see as the slideshow went to the next picture, to see all of the trees that had been planted and the bushes and the flowers and a swing that was out with some shrubbery around that. I mean, it was just an incredible difference. And so this morning, I want to challenge us. If you could take a snapshot of where you are right now spiritually, if we could take a snapshot of where we are right now spiritually, and then fast forward 5 years, 10 years down the road, maybe 20 or 30 years, and we could see that contrast, would I be planting things now in my life that will show up in the future? Am I sowing in my life the kinds of spiritual habits that will help me grow and be better spiritually and more developed spiritually in the future? As a congregation, what are we doing to plant the seeds in ways that in the future you can see evidence of it? We had a lot of that taking place yesterday with the children who were here for Vacation Bible School. I had the privilege of getting to lead singing with them, which amounts to singing VBS songs and getting them all excited and bouncing off the walls and then sending them to the classrooms for the teachers. And I know the teachers really appreciated that. But we had some incredible planting of seeds that was taking place. What are we doing to plant seeds that will show up in the future? I think the example given in Scripture of Paul and Timothy is an incredible way for us to learn this morning what it means both to give in the way Paul gave and to grow in the way Timothy grew. I've heard people say before that you need to have someone in your life at all times that is like a Timothy to you, that you're helping and giving to help that person to grow, and that all of us need to have someone in our lives that's like a Paul to us, where we're learning and we're in that role of Timothy and growing. And I think that's good advice. So we're going to think about that this morning. How am I giving and how am I growing? In Acts chapter 7, that's the first time we're introduced to Paul. And he's called Saul of Tarsus then, and he's not yet a Christian. But when we're introduced to him, they're laying their coats at his feet as they go to stone Stephen to death. Stephen, a servant of God who's standing up and proclaiming the message of Jesus. Saul of Tarsus is there. And then in a couple of chapters, Saul is converted. On the road traveling to Damascus, he becomes Paul the Apostle. And he starts doing some incredible things for God. God is working mightily through him. Then a few chapters later, in Acts chapter 14, Paul is in Lystra. And in Lystra, there are those that, as he's preaching and teaching and converting others, become very upset. And so in Lystra, they take him outside of the city and seek to do the same thing to him that he saw done to Stephen. They stone him and leave him for dead. But there is an individual who lives in Lystra. Like Paul, he had grown up knowing the Scriptures, knowing what we would think of as the Old Testament. He was converted to Christ, and he knew what had happened to Paul, that he had been stoned and left for dead. His name was Timothy. And just a couple of chapters later, Timothy and Paul will be traveling together. An incredible relationship. A relationship that Paul would describe as almost a father-son kind of relationship. Look at the way that he describes Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. He says in verse 19, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." Can't you just hear the love of Paul for Timothy in that statement? Can't you just sense the relationship that was there as Timothy, somewhat of an apprentice to Paul in his work, is growing, and Paul is saying, there is no one else like him. You know of his proven worth. What an incredible example of one person giving to another and the other growing. And so this morning, let's reflect on how we're giving and how we're growing. First of all, if I want to give the way that Paul did, one thing we see very clearly from Scripture is I'm going to need to invest time in others. If I want to be like Paul and if I want to give to others, it starts with investing time. I will have a hard time impacting someone's eternity if I'm not willing to invest my time with them. I'm going to have a hard time making a difference in someone's life if I'm not willing to invest time. In the passage that we read from Acts chapter 16, We see what happens as Paul returns. After he had been stoned and left for dead, he comes back a couple of chapters later to that same area, to Lystra and Iconium. And they're speaking well of Timothy. Did you notice the way Timothy's reputation had spread? We don't know exactly the words that were said, but you can imagine what it would be like as Paul comes into town and people are saying, Have you seen Timothy yet? Do you remember Timothy? Have you seen the way he's turning out? Have you seen the way he's maturing? He had impressed the Christians there. And it strikes me that when Paul finds that out, and when he sees Timothy, he doesn't just sit down with Timothy and spend a few minutes, although that would have been good. He doesn't just give Timothy a seminar in how to be a better disciple or a better fisher of men, although that would have been good. He invites Timothy to come with him. Timothy becomes an apprentice. Paul is willing to invest his life, to pour his life into someone else that he's going to work alongside to share the gospel. I think there's something powerful in that. If I want to reach others, I'm going to have to be willing to invest my time in them. And that may mean sometimes I invest time in someone who's not interested in spiritual things. And maybe that means sometimes I invest my time and that person says, I'm not interested in you. And maybe I'm even rejected by that. But I've got to be willing to invest time. And from that point on, we see constantly that Paul is associated with Timothy. Either they're together working, or Paul sent Timothy on a mission to another congregation, maybe delivering a letter, or Paul's giving Timothy instructions where he is, that he needs to serve. But either way, there's a connection. Paul is investing his time. He'll even say later on that he's praying constantly for Timothy. He's investing in him. And so I need to be asking myself, is there someone in my life that I'm investing my time in? If I want to make a difference in the future, am I reaching out to a person and really investing, really pouring out my life experiences and trying to help them? This isn't a matter of trying to get someone to become just like me or try to influence them with my personality. There have been some groups and movements that have been based on that, but that's not what Paul was about. Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He wanted everyone to be more like Christ, and he was seeking to help Timothy do that. Not only was he willing to invest time in Timothy, but he was also willing to tell Timothy what he needed to hear. You know, if I'm really going to give and I'm really wanting to teach, I need to tell people what they need to hear. It's amazing to trace through Paul's writings and see the different things we discover about his relationship with Timothy through some of these instructions. We're going to list just a few from different passages in the New Testament. And I want to just think about what that tells us about Paul instructing Timothy. There were times he would need to encourage him. It seems that Timothy needed encouragement. And so, for example, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul would say, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. We get the sense of Paul telling Timothy, don't let people look down on you, but make sure you're setting the right kind of example when you're serving the church. Or a chapter later, in chapter 5 and verse 23, he would say, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. It's not a proof text to promote drinking. It's the idea that Paul knew Timothy was struggling and he needed some help. He's using it in a way that's going to help him physically, a medicinal purpose that's here. Paul's concerned about him. Or in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. He's letting Timothy know, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you night and day. Have you ever had someone who's told you they've been praying for you? You know the encouragement that gives? Understanding the power that's there? Just imagine how it would have felt for Timothy, who's serving and maybe frustrated and maybe upset, and he reads that from Paul. I'm praying for you. I'm doing it every day. That had to be encouraging. Or in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, when he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This just sounds like something a father would say to a son. He's saying, be strong, stay courageous. There are going to be challenges. He gave him some encouragement. He also gives him some clear instruction. Tells him what he needs to know. For example, verse 16 of 1 Timothy 4, he'd say, pay attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. He's saying, Timothy, if your salvation matters and if others' salvation matters, you've got to pay attention. You've got to persevere in this. Or in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, and to the younger man as brothers, and to the older women as mothers, and all younger women as sisters, in all purity. He's saying, there's a way that you relate to others. There's a way you communicate with others that will work better than a sharp rebuke. He's giving him some training here. Or when he tells him to avoid worldly and empty chatter in 2 Timothy 2. It leads to further ungodliness. That talk spreads like gangrene. That's an infection. He says, stay away from that kind of chatter. Or 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, why would we share all of these passages in a row? Because it reminds us that Paul was constantly telling Timothy things Timothy needed to hear. Obviously, God inspired these words of Paul. I believe he's preserved them for us. Not just so we can apply them to our lives. I think that's true. I think we need to be doing the things Paul is telling Timothy to do and saying, how does that apply to me? But it also reminds me that the New Testament letters were written dealing with real situations. And that Paul was writing to Timothy dealing with a real situation. And he was telling him what he needed to hear. Not only do we need to be able to do that, but we also need to be challenging those we're teaching to grow. We typically rise to the level of expectations that are placed on us. Have you noticed that? If I don't expect very much of myself, I'm probably not going to go very much higher than that level of expectation. But maybe if that expectation level is raised, maybe you can remember a teacher that did that for you, that really raised the level of expectations, that saw something in you that you didn't even see and said, no, you can perform at this level. You can perform at this level. All of a sudden, our actions, our performance increases according to the level of expectation that's placed on us. I think it would have been challenging for Timothy to go with Paul and to serve. After all, he knew that they had stoned Paul the last time he went through town. Can you imagine coming to Timothy's mother and saying, hey, we'd like to take Timothy with us. You know this apostle that's serving God and constantly being persecuted? Yeah, he's the one he's going to travel with. I think that would be challenging. He challenged him to grow. He's sending him to situations that evidently were difficult. In fact, there are times it seems that Timothy struggled with fear. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, when Timothy comes among you, don't give him reason to fear. Don't give him reason to be afraid. Timothy struggled with fear, and yet we constantly see him being challenged to grow. And so if I want to teach others, I want to challenge them to grow. It may be that there's someone that you can come alongside and say, you know, I think you'd do a great job on a mission trip. Why don't you think about that? Or I think you'd do a great job helping in a class. Have you ever thought about helping teach a class? Maybe there are some ways you can challenge others to grow and see something in them that they might not even see. And that encouragement might raise their level of expectation. And who knows what could happen? Am I giving the way Paul gave? And then I have to ask myself if I'm growing the way that Timothy grew. When we look at Timothy's life, if I want to grow the way Timothy did, first of all, I'll need to invest time in learning. If I'm giving, I want to invest time in others. If I'm growing, I want to invest time in learning. If you can think of a successful person in any field or any arena of industry or any area of performance, those who were at the top of their game only got there because they invested time in honing that skill. Even those who are naturally athletically talented have to invest the time and practice to get to the point where they can perform at a high level. Those with natural music abilities can only become proficient in playing an instrument if they put the time in. And the same principle works spiritually. I'm only going to grow if I'm willing to invest the time in doing that. Timothy grew as he walked with Paul, but he had to be willing to invest time in traveling with him. I'm going to have to be willing to invest time in studying God's Word. After all, that's one of the encouragements Paul gives Timothy. Over and over again, actually, several times in 1 and 2 Timothy, he points Paul back to the Word, saying all Scripture is from God. It's God-breathed. If you want to be thoroughly prepared, if you want to be adequately equipped, that's where you go. He's pointing Timothy back to preparing himself investing time in learning, investing time in the Word of God. If it's important for Timothy, it's important for us as well. And so I need to ask myself, am I investing time in learning? If the seed has been planted, I might need to ask myself, am I watering it? Am I cultivating it? Am I allowing it to grow by spending time in God's Word? I need to be willing to invest time in doing that, and it doesn't happen overnight. I also need to take the advice that's given to me. Sometimes this can be the most difficult thing of all when we come to a text in Scripture, and it hits us right between the eyes, and it pricks our conscience and our heart, and we're thinking, I don't know, this is going to be difficult. Sometimes it's hard to take that advice. Sometimes it's hard to take the advice of a friend that might take me aside and say, you know, I've seen something that I think should be different. It's interesting to me that when Paul writes to Timothy and then he writes to Titus, there are some differences that are there. We don't read the kinds of encouragements to overcome fear in Titus that we read in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Now, both were considered sons in the faith by Paul, but he treated them differently. He gave them different challenges. And if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you've ever worked with people, you know that no two people respond exactly the same way. And so it makes sense that Paul would give Timothy certain challenges and he would give Titus certain challenges. In fact, in Acts 16, we read in verse 3 that in order to more effectively minister to the Jews that were there, Timothy was circumcised because having a Jewish mother, we know his father was Greek, and it might be safe to assume that because of that wasn't a Christian. We don't know that for sure. But when Paul would describe Timothy's upbringing in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, he would talk about Lois and Eunice. He'd focus on the mother and grandmother of Timothy rather than mentioning his father that had taught him God's word from an early age. And so to effectively minister to them, Timothy was willing to be circumcised. Now, Titus wasn't. Titus wasn't a Jew. Titus wasn't working in that area. And so there's different decisions that are made. What I'm saying is Paul understood the differences in not only the field, but the differences in personality, and advised each of them accordingly. It may be that I need to take advice that's given to me. If you'll bear with me, I'll share just a personal time I can think back and realize the importance of that principle. When we were at Fried Hardeman, I was going out and helping. We were helping with a congregation just a few miles outside of town. And I would get to lead singing and speak there, and they were very encouraging to us. It was a great place. And I remember one Sunday night after I had led singing, there was a gentleman that pulled me aside in the back of the auditorium, over kind of in this section, this side of their auditorium there, and he said, I want to share a few things with you that I think would be helpful when you're leading singing. And he proceeded to share some things in a very kind way that would have been helpful to me leading singing, but I have to be very open with you. I didn't take that very well. I was probably a little too confident in myself. I'd been leading singing for a while. I felt like I knew what I was doing. I was a little frustrated that I was being given these tips, and I was just thinking, you know, I come out here and I'm helping, and I don't need to get this kind of feedback. And I kind of got frustrated. I shouldn't have. He didn't say it in an unkind way, but I did. I was a little frustrated by that. I can remember talking to my father on the phone about that a day or two later, and I was thinking, you know, can you believe this happened? And he said, well, let's think about that. What was the name of this person? And I said, this is Mr. Doyle. And he said, well, now, wait a minute. If that's Kelly Doyle, he taught chorus at Fried Hardeman for years. He taught music for song leaders for years. And so Dad said, here's what you need to do. You need to go back and you need to tell him that you're going to meet with him every time you lead singing and let him tell you what you need to do better to improve. Now, that wasn't really the response I was looking for when I called home. But that's what he told me to do. He said, you find him and he'll help you out. And I took that advice. Again, I'll be open. I was a little frustrated by it, but I took that advice. And it was incredible what that did over the next 2 years. They had Catherine and I into their home. He and his wife did. We got to know the family. I learned things from him I never would have learned. I would have completely missed out on some great things, some great information, and a good relationship with people, a good encouragement, if I hadn't been willing to take the advice. Now, I guess I wasn't initially willing to do it, but if I hadn't have been convinced to be willing to take that advice. Can we relate to that? Aren't there times in your life where someone tells you something and you think, well, now, wait a minute. Now, I've been a Christian a long time. I've been doing this a long time. I don't really need someone to tell me what to do. If we're not careful, we can allow that to keep us from learning something that's very powerful. We might even learn something that changes our lives if we'll just be willing to take advice that's given to us. And then lastly, we need to challenge ourselves to grow. If I'm giving, I want to challenge others to grow. If I want to grow myself, I've got to challenge myself to step out of areas where I feel comfortable. And in a very practical way, this morning, I want us to ask ourselves, is there an area of ministry that you've always wanted to learn more about here at Graymere, but you haven't stepped out yet and taken that opportunity? Maybe you've wanted to learn more about the benevolence ministry that's so active every week. Maybe you've wanted to learn more about the TV ministry and the ways you can help with that. Maybe you've wanted to learn more about how you can help with our youth group, how you can help with the children's ministry, whatever the area is there something you've had in your mind, you know, I'd like to do that sometime. Can I encourage you? Let's make now that time. Let's make now the time you learn more about a ministry. Let's make now the time you volunteer to say, I want to find out more about these mission trips and going on a mission trip. Or what do you need to do in order to be a teacher? How can you help with this ministry? Whatever that might be for you. Whatever fits your personality and you feel fits talents that God's given you. Whatever that is, let's make now the time that you challenge yourself to grow. That you say, I want to plant some seeds that in the future are going to make a difference. And if you take a spiritual snapshot of me now and a snapshot of me in the future, you can see growth. Don't we all want that? Let me encourage you, if you've got the Informer with you, that yellow sheet of paper that has the sermon outline on it, can I encourage you before you leave today to just jot down somewhere, this is just for yourself, you're not going to be asked to show this to anybody, but think of one person in your life that you could take in a way and have the role of Paul, have the role of someone who gives. A person you could invest time with, and maybe you already have that and you're already doing that. If so, maybe you could write that person's name down and just pray for that person. And this week, be saying a prayer for that person. But maybe there's someone in your life that you think, you know, I could invite that person out for coffee and really try to form a relationship with this person. I could do this. I could involve this person in a ministry I'm working with and really try to connect with them. And then also on that sheet of paper, let me encourage you to write down the name of someone that could help you grow. And it may be that you already have that kind of person in your life, a person that you turn to with spiritual questions and for advice. If so, that's great. Let me encourage you to write that person's name down and just pray thanking God for that person this week. But it may be that there's someone else that you know that really has impacted you, and you might want to this week meet them for coffee and say, I'd like to get some advice from you. I'd like to grow. Here are areas of my life I'd like to be different. How can we work with that? What can we do? God has given us a tremendous blessing in having a network of brothers and sisters in Christ. We give and we grow. We're seeking not only to make sure we're serving God, but that we're doing that together. That we're supporting and being built up in one another. We see that relationship in Paul and Timothy. And when you get to the end of Paul's life and he writes 2 Timothy, and we see his desire for Timothy to come to him and to come quickly, we sense the power of a relationship when that relationship is centered on two people helping each other serve God better. I hope that's something that we can grow in. I hope you can think 10, 20, 30 years down the road of some things that will be different in your life because of seeds that are being planted now. Just this week as I was thinking about this lesson, I was already imagining things that will be different in the lives of people here because of what I see going on every day at Graymere. What I see every week at Graymere is seeds are being planted and people are being encouraged. Let's keep that up. And even more, let's find others we can invest in. That we can share messages they need to hear and challenge them to grow. And let's invest time in learning ourselves and make sure we're taking advice that's been given and challenging ourselves to grow. It may be that you need to begin that life of growth in Christ. It may be that you need to put Christ on in baptism. because you have faith that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to turn around your life and to confess Him as Lord. When you put Him on in baptism, you begin a process of growth. It's not the finish line, it's a starting gate for growth in Christ, and that's something we do together. We encourage each other. And so it may be that you need encouragement. Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be addressed, or maybe there's just an issue you need help with. If we can help you in any way, please come forward and let that need be known as we stand and as we sing together.